May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. So in this morning's text, which is the Transfiguration, the Feast of the Transfiguration falls on August 6th, and August 6th happens to be a Sunday, so we honor the Feast of the Transfiguration today. But in this morning's text, you could say it was the best of times and the worst of times. It was the best of times in that Jesus' followers, Peter, James, John, were able to see him bedazzled and glowing. As one commentator said in a podcast I listened to, he said, Jesus was lit up like the Vegas Strip. So the men, Peter, John, and James, not only saw Jesus up on that mountaintop, but Moses and Elijah too. Some folks have said that the presence of Moses and Elijah represents the law and the prophets. And their presence is a sign to those who hear this story that Jesus, who is on that mountaintop with Moses and Elijah, just like Moses and Elijah, represents a critical part of the story that God is telling to the world. So it was the best of times. Jesus is bedazzled and bright. And yet, up on that mountaintop, it is also, in a sense, the worst of times, because just as we see Jesus sparkle and shine, we are confronted with the knowledge that he is already turned toward Jerusalem. We're confronted with the knowledge that he will not stay on that mountaintop with his friends forever, and that death on the cross is imminent. Christ will die, and his followers will need to be prepared, in a sense, for the fact that not all of life is going to be a mountaintop experience, right? Not all of life is going to be glitzy and glamorous. It strikes me that the Jesus who we meet in the first part of the story, the transfigured Jesus, is the one that we all want to pal around with. He is strong. He is secure. He is sparkly. But it seems to me that it can be easy for us to follow Jesus when he illumines the path ahead of us, right? When the way forward seems clear. But we know as Christians that we are also called to follow Jesus when we don't know the next step we're going to take, when we don't know what the road ahead brings. So to me, when I hear the story of the Transfiguration, this is the tension. The tension is, do we follow Jesus as we wish him to be, or do we follow Jesus as he truly is? I was reminded of going through my mom's high school yearbooks, which are from the early 70s, in which her classmates, many of them, it's like they all wrote the same thing. They all said, Lori, don't change. Stay the same. Never change. I wonder if anyone wrote that in your high school yearbook. And I thought, this is kind of like what the followers of Jesus were saying to him up on that mountaintop. They were saying, Jesus, stay just like this. Don't change. Stay here forever in your bedazzled appearance, glowing white skin. Don't change. I think we all have a tendency, right, to want to follow Jesus when things are going well, and I can speak for myself in saying that when the road gets a little more difficult, sometimes it's hard to know where Jesus is and what we are called to do to be his followers. Will we go up to the top of the mountain with Jesus? Of course. But then when he tells us you're going to have to climb back down, it can be a little daunting. Sometimes going back down that mountain means that we plunge ourselves into some of the difficult things about ourselves, the difficult things about our world. And definitely going down the mountain and following Jesus towards the cross means that we see him when he's bedazzled, but we also see him when he is bruised, when his body is broken. So I think on a very practical level, what it means to follow Jesus as he is that change is the name of the game. Change is the name of the game for us as humans and for us as Christians. There are many points in life where we are called to break out of habit or to break out of the way things are, to see things anew, to follow Jesus in a new way. And I think his friends, those three that go to the mountaintop with him, that stay awake and that see him bedazzled, his friends remind us that when it comes to us and our loved ones, when it comes to us and our friends, we are also called to stick with them through thick and thin. We are called to bear witness to one another's challenges as well as to one another's joys. This reminded me, the friends that Jesus has that journey up the mountain with him and then will stick with him as he journeys toward the cross, reminded me of a study I heard about once, and I looked it up. It's from researchers from the University of Virginia, and what they did is they gathered on the campus right at the bottom of a particularly steep hill, and as people would pass by, they would give them a heavy backpack weighing, you know, I don't know, 10 or 20 pounds, and they would say, okay, look up the hill, and they would have them rate, how difficult do you think this hill is going to be to climb? So they would have the backpack on, they would look at the hill, and they would rate, how difficult do you think this will be to climb this hill with this backpack on? If the students or professors were alone, they would rank it more difficult. They would project that the hill would be harder to climb. But if the students or professors were with a friend, they would predict that the hill would be easier to climb. So not only does the presence of a friend help us to have a more optimistic prediction of what the future will bring, but the study found that the longer those friends had known each other, the easier you would think that hill would be to climb. And all of us, I think, have those old friendships, those people who have been with us through so many seasons of life. That to me is a gift of God's grace. Those people who, as they say, will take your sorrows and have them, half of your sorrows, and take your joys and double them. That's what true friendship is about. As I thought about that study, I thought about how in just the same way that those three men went up to that mountaintop with Jesus, Jesus is a friend to us. It's like that hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus. He journeys with us through so many things, through highs and lows of life, through all manner of places, and is willing to share with us in whatever load we are carrying. It was on that mountaintop the best of times, and it was the worst of times. But in a way, I think that mountaintop represents just a small window into all that life is. It's the joy, it's the bliss, it's the wonder, but it's also the knowledge that hard things will happen. And that with our friends, with our loved ones, and with Jesus, we will not be left to face those hard things alone. The mountaintop is this experience of peak connection. And everyone always laughs when they say, let's stay here, let's build a house, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. It's like, this is great, let's stay on this mountain forever. But we know that that's not how life works. We know that as Christians, we are called to show up for Jesus just how he is. Not just when he is valiant, but also when he is vulnerable. Just as he shows up for us in our vulnerable moments. So we have this hope in the story of the Transfiguration. Yes, we know that we have to climb down the mountain. We have to descend from that mountaintop experience. But we also know that whatever the path ahead may bring, whatever the path ahead brings, we are not left to face it alone. Just like that research study, we know that when we look to the future, when we see a hill, if we see a hill, when we see a hill, we can have faith and we can trust that there's someone by our side, someone that understands and knows us, someone who loved us so much that he chose to walk that hill with us. And this, my friends, is part of the good news of what this Sunday is about, the story of the Transfiguration. That just as we have a friend in Jesus, we are empowered to share one another's load, to look at that hill and to affirm we are not in it alone. Amen.